Today is Mother's Day, and it's a celebration that is recognized around the United States as a special day to honor mothers. I don't know if you all know this, but Mother's Day actually started in Grafton, West Virginia. In fact, there is a church there that used to be a Methodist Episcopal Protestant church that is the shrine, is the Mother's Day shrine. And I serve churches in Grafton, West Virginia with my husband, Joe. And so we got to be a part of some very big Mother's Day celebrations. The woman who started Mother's Day really wanted to honor her mother for all that she had taught her and for the love that she had shown. It's a very special day for many. And it's a day, I think, that is important. But the truth is, Mother Day is not the same day for everyone. There are some people who find Mother's Day rather difficult. And I imagine, Phil, you're one of them this year, having just so recently lost your mom. I'm thinking also about a friend who, about this time, is probably finishing up or beginning her message at Crawfordville United Methodist Church. Her mother died 3 weeks ago, and she had already been scheduled to do the Mother's Day sermon. And she didn't want to back out. So as I'm preaching today, if you want to say a special prayer for Michelle Egerton, I would appreciate that. There are so many people out there who find Mother's Day rather difficult. Maybe it's something that we haven't thought about, but not everybody has been blessed with a wonderful mother. I'm so glad I have been. I'm also glad I've been blessed with a wonderful father. And not everybody has been blessed to be a mother. Often in churches on Mother's Day, we take very special time out to honor the mothers in our congregation. I'm sure you've done this here over the years. You have the carnations or the roses or the special candy or books. And you end up giving one to every mother, but you start out with things like, who's the youngest mother here? And who's the newest mother? And who's the mother with the most kids? And who's the mother with the most grandkids? Who's the mother with the most boys? Who's the mother with the most girls? And you kind of have it all figured out. That year we ended with, who's the oldest mother? And everybody hadn't been in this church the same length of time. And so the woman who they all shouted out to honor, who'd been in that church for years and years and years, many of them didn't know, didn't have any kids. It wasn't just that her children were grown. She'd never had kids, and it hadn't been her choice. It was a very painful moment for her to say, but I'm not a mother. It was a very embarrassing moment for the church. And it's one of the times I realized that Mother's Day isn't the same for everyone. In fact, the woman that we read about this morning, Naomi, I imagine Mother's Day, of course, wasn't celebrated back that far back, but I imagine that Mother's Day, had it been, would have been an incredibly painful day for her. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost her two sons. And in the scripture, she even says that she feels that God is against her. Life is going wrong. She's surrounded by two daughters-in-laws who love her dearly. But she knows. Even worse than today, she knows the greatness of her loss. In losing her husband, she lost not only a man she loved, but she lost her security. In losing her sons, she not only lost boys that she'd raised and loved, but she'd lost her future. She was a woman without family. She was a woman without means of survival or sustaining herself. She was a woman with really only one option, to go home and beg off her family. It didn't seem like a very bright future for her. And I think any reminder of motherhood about then would have just been salt in the wound. But for one thing, Ruth. Ruth would not leave her for anything, no matter how hard she tried to convince her. This was just not a good plan. Basically, Naomi was going home to beg off family in Israel, in Judah. Ruth was a Moabite. right. She wasn't even a Jew. She wouldn't be accepted there, would she? What kind of means was Naomi going to have to take care of Ruth when she couldn't even take care of herself? It was not a good plan. But Ruth would hear nothing else and went along anyway. I think it's very interesting that we have this story here to share on Mother's Day, because it seems that we have a woman who everything has gone wrong for, who has only one choice, to go home and to beg off her family, and now has this tag along with her, a woman she loves dearly as a daughter, but she's a Moabite and she has no way to provide for her. How is this going to work? I'm always amazed at the way in which God works things out. For you who know the end of this story, bear with me. Ruth goes home with Naomi, and she more than just follows Ruth. Ruth goes home with Naomi, and she more than just follows Naomi. She converts to Judaism, and she takes care of Naomi. She makes sure they have food by gleaning in the fields. Once the harvests were over, it was law that the fields should not go through and pick up every last piece of grain. But after you clean the fields for the first time of the harvest, you leave the things behind. Kind of like around here, after you picked the grapes that were all ripened at once, you'd leave the rest on the vine for those persons who were hungry, or orphaned, or widowed, to have something to eat. And by law, those persons were allowed to come into your fields and into your vineyards so that they would not go hungry. Well, Naomi was depressed, and she was older, and she was not even thinking towards going that direction. But Ruth was. And she went into the fields, and she followed Naomi's directions, and she provided for them. She came under the notice of a particular man. And Naomi noticed that too. And in a most strategic plan, Naomi set Ruth and Boaz up. They fell in love and they got married. It's a wonderful story if you haven't read it. And from that, Ruth had a son. And from that son's name was Obed. And Obed had Jesse. And Jesse had King David. And isn't it amazing that you would think, from a woman whose future was over, the future of Israel's would come? A striking story. It's an amazing story. But one of the things that amazes it to me about Mother's Day in this story is the fact that Ruth didn't have a mother to go to, it seems, but she had Naomi. And Naomi no longer had her sons or her children, but she acted as a mother to Ruth. So many times I think that we concentrate so much on our biological relationships that we forget some of the wonderful ways in which God has made us a family in the church and a family in Christ. Ruth's future and Naomi's future happened in a bond of mother and daughter that really wasn't related on biology at all. Started this morning by talking about a woman who we wanted to recognize as the oldest mother in the church, but she had never had children, and she was very embarrassed, and so were we. But about that time, people in the church began to pop up and say, "Wait a minute, you've been a mother to me. Wait a minute, let me tell you how you've affected my faith." And soon, this woman, who thought she had never had the opportunity to be a mother, found out she had been the mother to many more than she had ever imagined. I would hope that on Mother's Day that we would all have a wonderful mother to celebrate. But if you don't, or if you do not have children, that you bore yourself. I don't think that stops us from having something to celebrate today. The family we have in Christ. And that opportunity to have loving relationships with each other that nurture and grow us in faith. Maybe in ways that we never imagined. I remember Jesus one time was teaching and preaching with a group of people. And his mother and brothers came to the door and said, "We need to see him." They were a little concerned, and I think we're really planning on kind of dragging him home. But they said, "Your mother and your brothers are here to see you, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Who are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters? You are." Today I would like us to celebrate not only our mothers, but our entire family in Christ. May God bind us together in the love and unity that Christ prayed for all of us.